Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hi, I'm Mike Morheim from
Dreamhaven,
and you're listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 631 for February 26th, 2021. Welcome to year almost 16 of The Instance. With me, Scott Johnson, Garrett Weinzierl here today. Hello, Garrett.
Hello, Scott.
Hello.
I tried to squeeze in a game of Hearthstone Battlegrounds before the show, and it's going too well. I'm in a final two as we speak for this very program.
Oh, I like this. We can do like a little play-by-play as things go on here. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah. I've got the perfect dragon board. I've got a Kalagos. How dare I confuse those two?
Can't believe you did that.
Oh man. It's things are going well.
Yeah.
I think I'm about to own this C'Thun.
Good. C'Thun deserves to be owned. And may you be the owner of C'Thun by the end of today's pod. I'm sure this game will end sooner than that. But
I think one of us is about to die.
Well, good luck on that. And we'll keep close to the scores here, folks. It's like the Super Bowl's going on while we do something else. We'll find out.
Yeah, man. And a happy post BlizzCon line.
Thanks, man. We're what?
Mr. Q&A hoster.
Oh, yeah.
Extraordinaire.
That was fun. I had a good time. Just a little, this isn't really a leak, but a little secret. If you were in charge of production of a live broadcast like that, you would probably do this as well. We did live to tape. In other words, no editing of the actual content before we posted it, but we recorded it at 11 p.m. the night before. And we did that.
Oh, I didn't know that's what
I know.
You did.
And you know what? Congrats to us, because exactly the goal in mind was to make it not feel overly thought over, overly produced, or any of that. Because the goal was like, look, these are raw questions. We want raw answers. We don't want to, you know, be too careful about cultivating all of that. We want this to feel like a regular stage Q&A. But the way ISPs work, power works, everyone's remote, everyone's in a different location. You have like maximum stacks of potential problems, technical problems. And so you do it a little early in case any of those things happen, which I'm glad they didn't. But if they had, we would have been screwed during the live thing, right? So record it live, play it like it's live, done deal. And we do it as close to that night. Like everything has happened, all the PR interviews have been done. That way, there's no new information going to come out before this thing airs the next day. And it worked out really well. So I'm really glad that people enjoyed it. And we actually learned a little something from it that we're going to talk about later that a lot of people are really pissed about. In fact, you know what? We'll talk about it now. In the Q&A, Eli, the art director who was on there, made the comment after a question about character customization. And the question was, will there be any more? You know, we like our weird tusks and our scars on our faces, and the one eye's blind and the other one isn't, and all the cool things I can do with my orc now.
Well, like, one eye's blind is my favorite 90s band.
One eye's blind, amazing band. Boy, howdy, were they big in their day. So we all love that stuff. Pretty universally, people have been very happy with that customization. Somebody had asked, will we have more? And it was a question that was assumed to be, well, will we have more during Shadowlands? And that's why I think we got the answer, which was no. The simple answer was no, we're not doing any more. And a lot of people took that to mean, well, you're just never going to do this again. Like, you're going to just let that character creator and or barbershop thing just squander for all time. And I don't know if they've done much clarification beyond that, but it was one of those moments where a lot of people were like, wait a minute, one of my favorite things right now is how much more I can customize my character compared to how I used to. And I don't think they were, okay, this is Scott conjecture here because we didn't really get to it on the Q&A, but I think you never say never in a case like this. And this is a living, breathing, constantly being updated, reevaluated, and expanded video game that is going to continue well on into however long future years it has. Who knows what they do to the game in the intervening time? And the idea that they are just done with one cosmetic aspect of the game seems crazy to me. So I think that should be taken as like, oh, okay, well, we got what we got right before this patch, where the pre-patch had these changes, and those are it for this expansion. And because everything else, gloves are off. It's expansions are who knows what in the future. We don't know. We don't know anything about it. So I don't know why there was such a freak out, but it was everywhere, dude. I had people emailing me, texting me. There was a whole nightmare thread on Reddit. Like, everybody all worked up, which I know people can do in the Warcraft community.
I would take that, you know, obviously people got worked up, and I'm sure some people took it too far, as the internet tends to do. But if I were a World of Warcraft developer,
yeah,
and I saw that people were this worked up, in a way I would go, boy, that's awesome that they care this much, that this was such a hit for the players, that the thought of not having more of these really bums them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, maybe think about how you answer those questions.
Yeah, that one, because that one was really super softball-y, I thought. But the way they answered it was, I mean, usually they usually are sort of never say never, and they even said those exact words on other issues, other people answering questions.
So I was prepping for my own interview, so I was kind of tuning in and out, so I didn't hear that answer as given. Hmm. Did they specify in that answer that they were only really talking about Shadowlands, or was that something that they did after the fact? Because after the fact, I went and I was, you know, reading like the bullet points of everything that got mentioned in the Q&A, and it really went at it, like every outlet I read went out of its way to specify that what they meant was Shadowlands only.
It was less clear during the Q&A than it was after the fact, and I think that was the problem. And it's not that it was poorly said. It's it's just that the question said, will we be getting any more? And I think their assumption is, oh, they mean in Shadowlands. And so their answer was, well, no, we've done that for now. And that's maybe more should have been said about, now for future expansions, who knows? Or we never say never here at Blizzard, or whatever. Because I think most of us are cool with what we got for this expansion. We weren't expecting like hundreds more of these customizations. I mean, that'd be great. I wouldn't turn them down.
I'd like some full bushy beards for my blood elves, please.
Of course you would.
I realized we got more facial hair, which it was not a full high bar to clear. Right. They pretty much had cat whiskers level of beards before. Yeah. Now we have actual proper goatees, but.
My understanding is it's difficult for your average blood elf to grow the kind of hair you're asking for. And so we can't all be Malfurion, dude. Malfurion is what he should be called.
Oh,
see what I did there the words?
Yeah, I did see what you did there.
Well, anyway, it was one of those things that just reminded me slightly of the 2014 live BlizzCon instance episode we did, where Greg Street announced for the first time that there would not be flying once you had leveled through, I guess it was Warlords. Yeah, Warlords at the time, and there was much gnashing of teeth. That was bad.
That was bad.
That was really bad.
Just about that.
Yeah. So nothing too controversial, though. It went really well. I want to thank everybody who tuned in and watched that thing, and everybody who submitted questions. There were obviously a ton we couldn't get to, because there's always a ton. You always sandbag it to make sure you have enough for the entirety of that hour. But as always, you know, some answers go long. We don't get to everybody's question. There's a couple in there I really wish we would have gotten to, but we were happy to get what we got. And another big thanks to Blizzard for inviting me again. It turned out really good. Enjoyed ourselves. Oh, and by the way, so breaking news. Oh, first of all, we got to check on the game. Are we winning still? Are you losing?
I won, by the way. You won. Got first place. Got a big fat stack of points.
Look at that.
Climbing that Battlegrounds. Garrett,
Lord of Battlegrounds ladder.
Zigzag Cthune, and I was Finley as well. My options of heroes was bad, so I've rolled the dice with Finley. I got Ysera as my hero power, which is not a great hero power, and I still took first place. So well done. Me and blindly drafting dragons and hoping for the best.
I think that's super rad that you won. All right, now we've done that. I wanted to just put this out there because I feel like a hypocrite, and I got to get it off my chest. Something happened to me, let's call it BlizzCon Online or BlizzCon Online Week and Forward, where as you know, this expansion, I started with GURP, but then as soon as I hit Ouroboros, I was like, I don't know if I want to do a, I don't want to main the Hunter this time around. I mean, I just was feeling like I needed something new. So I went and grabbed what's the other one I played? Now I don't even remember. The freaking
Druid.
Druid.
You got really into Druid for like half a month.
So I was super into that Druid for about a month, three weeks to a month. I was just like hardcore Druid, instant travel form, like all of these advantages I thought were just so rad. And then I was like, ah, I'm kind of hungry for the Demon Hunter. And I think it was based on watching that speed run of Torghast. And I was like, I'm going to play a Demon Hunter again. So I dusted him off and got him leveled and then was running Torghast with him and getting my story done and aligned myself with the freaking Venthyr just to do something different. And anyway, that was going well. BlizzCon line comes along, and for some reason, a switch goes off in my head. And I don't know if this is like a nostalgic sort of wow as a thing that I've known for so long went off in my head. And I went, oh, well, I'm back to the Hunter, damn it. Why? I don't know. Just because. And he's rolling with Beastmaster, because that's how a true Hunter is, in my opinion. And I get in there, and I hate to be the guy to say this because I've been so critical of it up to this point. But I've gone from quite disliking Torghast and having to run it over and over to really liking it. And I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. It's not just story quest. It's not just let's go save Jaina. It's not just, get all the soul ash you can get during a week or whatever. It just became fun. And it must be something to do with the Hunter, but things are a little hairy in there, right? Like I'm dying more often than I did with the Demon Hunter. He was like never dying.
Yeah, there's a lot of self-healing going on there.
I died a fair amount with the Druid, about as much as I do with GURP the Hunter, but I don't know why I'm enjoying it. Like, literally the moment-to-moment gameplay is ringing for me in a way that I get excited when I find a chained-up freaking, some idiot who needs help finding his key or whatever. Oh, sure, I'll help you. All right, additional abilities thing. I can't wait to see a pot down in the corner kind of faintly glowing, and I'm like, ooh, I bet that's got a freaking anima effects in it or power in. I'm gonna go get it.
I love that we've swapped positions, because I was really in the Torghast in the beginning and now I never want to do it again.
Right. What is this about? I don't get it. Because I know as I say this that in a week I could come back to the show and go, oh, I'm so freaking sick of Torghast.
Yeah, you'll hit a wall. You'll hit a wall. I think it's I can see it being really fun with the Hunter though compared to the other two that you played. Because like with a pet, it adds an extra strategic element where, you know, if you know a pull is going to be hard, you can still try and be smart about it.
Right. I can do things like just rapid fire through a stack of 10 of these guys. And then when they all run to me, because obviously I've aggroed everything other than my pets on, I can feign death and then they'll go back. And meanwhile, I popped my, I just forget the name of the damn thing, the Night Fae ability you get when you're a Hunter. And I forgot the name of it. Anyway, whatever it is.
I couldn't tell you. I haven't tried it.
Big circle of extra damage and effects.
It's everybody. Very pretty.
It's very cool. But I'll fire that off right before the feign death. And now they're not on me anymore. And I'll get up, pop exhilaration or something because my pet's half dead or whatever. And then be really specific about who I'm tearing down and when I'm doing it and keep the pet on the guy I want it on. So I'm just kind of managing this aggro the best I can. And there's something really great about tearing down 10 to 12 of those guys. And at the end of it going, holy shit, I cannot believe I beat all of that on, you know, level 5 or wherever the hell I am now on this. Or not level. What do they call them? Layer 5? What do they call them?
Are you doing the floors in a single run or the overall layer?
The overall layer.
The whole run.
Layer 5.
Okay, that's a layer.
Okay. So I'm at... So
layer 1 to 8.
Right.
There you go.
And there it is. Wild Spirits. Wild Spirits is the thing for the Hunter. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you, chat room. Syrian.
Syrian 59. But anyway, it is... way more fun than I think it's supposed to be. Plus, I'm kind of really enjoying deck builders again. And this game kind of has a weird, Slay the Spire kind of quality to it. This mode, this Torghast mode. This is all stuff we already know. But why I'm suddenly okay again, I don't know. And everything that was talked about in the Q&A and beyond regarding changes they're going to make to Torghast all sound really great to me as well. So I hope this stays and I continue to feel good about it. Like, it was to this point, Garrett, where I had gotten all the soul ash I needed. I'd done everything I needed to do. I'd even gotten the Jaina quest up to the story point and everything. And then I noticed I had a quest I forgot about. It was to buy some quest item from one of the, I forget their names, the robot ladies. The freaking, I don't know their names.
The brokers.
The brokers. We're about to get a big mega dungeon with brokers. The brokers. One of them, a named one, you're supposed to buy an item from them as part of a quest. And I forgot the last two times I ran through there. So I went and did another run just so I could buy a thing from the lady. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I like it so much. It's normally a thing I'd say, I'm doing that tomorrow or later at the best. I'm not going back in there. But for whatever reason, really enjoying it, enjoying my dailies, like back into a groove right now and having a blast. I will fully admit a lot of this is the outer edges of the hype bubble that was BlizzCon line just kind of infecting me a little bit. I got excited again. And even though there were things about that event and things being announced that were less than exciting, we'll get to some of that in the show today, I still feel this overwhelming urge to play the game all the time right now. So
have you been neglecting your mod duties on GURP?
No, in fact, I went and I've been doing that too. I've been getting my lost souls. I went and did.
Okay, I was gonna say, because if you haven't been leveling up your reputation with Venari,
mm-hmm.
Do that. Like, and don't feel like you got to clear out the maw every day, man. Like do what you find fun and then call it quits for the day, because you can do this every damn day. And because that's really going to up the amount and quality of the anima abilities that are offered, or anima powers that are offered to you as you're going through Torghast.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're really digging Torghast right now, you should be also somewhat keeping up with the maw as you go.
Yeah, I basically made it a point to, if I've got to go to the maw or vice versa, whatever thing is the priority, I'm doing the other while I'm there. And, you know, Soul Shape is helpful when you've picked Night Fae as your covenant. Because I don't have complaining to say about, like, you know, traveling in the mob. But I've also got a pretty good cooldown going on my aspect of Cheetah and all that stuff. So
yeah, and then like jump backwards and disengage and all those tricks.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, taming a few pets I never had before. I'm just getting serious about it in a way that it's been a while. It's been since the last expansion that I threw this much energy behind GURP, but. Yeah.
I think you're honing in on a main again.
Yeah,
and
turns out he was there all along, dude. He never left. He's always been there. Man. So anyway, I'm having a ball right now, and we'll see by next week if I don't burn out on some of this. But I've been playing. Oh, and I ran a bunch of dungeons. That's the other thing. They were all LFG, but ran a bunch of dungeons. Did fine there. I think one of the things that soured me is I was tanking dungeons with the Demon Hunter, and I got kicked out of two games for something that had nothing to do with me. And I know everyone says that, but I swear to you, they were just a-holes that were like one creature in a giant mob that got pulled by some, you know, frost mage, got out of control, and I didn't get a handle on it fast enough, and that's enough to just kick me after the first encounter or whatever, and that kind of
stuff. Leave it to the hunter, not to blame the hunter.
Whoops, that wasn't supposed to play. But yeah, right? Like, leave it to the guy who behaved like a hunter to F it up for everybody else. So now I'm happy to be that hunter. I go in there, accidentally hit rapid fire or something, pull a bunch of mobs nobody wanted. Now I'm the guy again. Ah, oh, feels good. Also, queues for GURP have only been about 5 minutes, so it hasn't been too bad. I think a lot of people are playing this game. I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're trying to catch up in LFR too, like, there's more slots for damage than there are for tanks anyway, so the wait's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. All right, well, now, let's do these side quests. All right, so we got a few things this week. We got a little clarification on WoW Classic Realms and how boosts are going to work in that environment. There were
specifically for BC Classic.
Correct. Which is, when's the beta? Do we have that yet? I don't think we have the beta.
Did they give
yet.
A date?
I don't think
they said it was this year, like the release of the Let's whole see. Thing, didn't they?
Release in 2021 with beta soon. I guess just no dates.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, here's the clarification, because there was a lot of questions about, well, wait, if I want to boost somebody, or how do I make a copy of the character I already have, or there was a lot of back and forth, and they answered some of that in the Q&A, but here's what they posted. They put this in the forums to sort of create some clarification. We think it might be helpful to note that we're now calling WoW Classic Era Realms Start at level 1. And we will feel the same way as we did 2 years ago. No boost would ever be needed or appropriate there. So we're talking vanilla ass vanilla WoW. When we originally laid out our principles for WoW Classic, the 1 to 60 experience was the only thing that we could refer to. Burning Crusade Classic begins at level 58. and we're configuring this new boost service to avoid minimizing the accomplishments of existing players or skipping any new content at launch. It's for players who want right away and quickly or want to, I'm sorry, who want to, a way to quickly join their friends in Outland. So that's the whole idea. You want to get boosted? You can, but that boost is just for, that boost to 58 is just for TBC Classic and not for vanilla to just be max level vanilla and do all the vanilla endgame things.
They also said that they won't be allowing you to boost Alliance Shaman or Horde Paladins, which bums me out a little bit.
I didn't even think about that. Is that confirmed? I guess they're not going to. It makes sense they wouldn't do
they
that.
They mentioned
though, right?
it during the BC Classic panel.
You don't like that?
Yeah, I was going to boost a Blood Elf Paladin immediately. And never mind.
Not so much.
Leveling a paladin in VC or vanilla is one of the worst gaming experiences I've ever put myself through.
Yeah, it was really different back then. They're fun now, but
if I remember correctly, they didn't get Crusader Strike, which is like their main damage ability until in the 40s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. So what are you going to do instead? You gonna level something else? Boost something?
Well, my hunter's damn near there, so I might just bring my hunter over and go from there.
Probably do that, yeah. Pretty close to 58, right? You could probably knock that out and what? You probably have 10 levels, if I remember right, back where you left off. You could do it. Garrett, stream the whole thing. Show the world. Show the world, too.
Oh, Chatroom's saying it's Draenei and Blood Elves in total that are off-limits. It's not just the Paladin and Shaman. Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, well, see, that's no good for you.
I my brain probably read it that way because I don't give a shit about anything else on those two races.
Yeah. But, that makes sense.
But, oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
And you have no interest to do, like, you're going to do whatever you're doing is Alliance something, right?
It depends on where my friends end up. That's true. But a lot of my friends ended up Alliance for Vanilla Classic, so that's why I went Alliance. Plus, that was like my original OG WoW experience. Yeah. But yeah, no, if I could boost a Blood Elf, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But since I can't, I might just boost a Warrior, because that's another one. I love tanking, but boy, I don't like leveling those classes in old school WoW.
No, those are no fun. At least my memory is they weren't much fun, or as fun. Yeah. I remember one fun combination, though. I had a friend who was a Paladin. I was a Frost Mage. This was vanilla, maybe TBC. I don't remember, but we basically leveled through all leveling content together so that he would just do that whole run around and aggro everybody and end up with like 20 mobs or whatever. And then I would just come and just hose them down with ice. And it was fantastic. I died a lot, but he would res me and that was okay. But we were just ripping through content, like not even doing quests as much. We just go find like 1,000 pigs and destroy them. It was great. It's good times, those old days.
Nice.
Anyway, nice. Yeah.
Well, in other news, there seems to be some tacit confirmation that Blizzard is indeed working on a mobile Warcraft game. Very specific mobile Warcraft game, though no one is entirely sure what a mobile Warcraft game is defined as. It came in the form of a tweet from Lungjaw advertising an environmental artist job within the company. The tweet read as follows: "We've updated the description of our latest environment art job opening. We are indeed working on a Warcraft mobile game. I've actually been working on this game for most of my time at Blizzard, and it really is an amazing team." So, there's a lot we could assume here. But what do you think, Scott?
Okay. So there's a few things.
Warcraft game.
Yeah. I mean, like there's some people that would say, well, this is just a full on version of WoW for mobile in the way that Black Desert Online has a mobile version of their game, which is pretty, very similar in tons of ways with a few differences for mobile. This is true of, so many games. There's so many MMOs, Korean and Chinese MMOs for the most part, and some US based ones that have a mobile version of their game that isn't necessarily tied directly into the live PC version of their game. And so that one possibility we talk about for a second, where maybe they're making WoW Junior as a complete and whole experience of its own with its own mechanics and leveling and whatever systems it has. And that's the game. I think a lot of us core WoW players would say, wait a minute, what I want is something that affects the live game. I want something that is either an extension of that, or exactly that, just a mobile version of WoW, another client for me to play your game. But I do think there's something to the idea of it being a more tailored to mobile experience and therefore its own thing. I don't know. That to me rings more accurate than just a full-blown version of WoW. And I base that mostly on the experience of seeing many other MMOs that do this very thing. So why wouldn't they try to do this? Because those games do real well. Like, they're huge and they make a lot of money for the companies that have them. Why wouldn't Blizzard want to make a game that's basically, you know, World of Warcraft, not light. I hate using that term, but you know what I mean? It would have to be kind of light. There's another good example of this. Isn't even an MMO, like Final Fantasy 15. Forgot the weird name they put at the end, but basically they kind of chibbly headed all the Final Fantasy 15 characters and shrunk that game down to a mobile game. But it's really that game. Like, it's that game again, almost entirely, except the characters are simplified. Some of the mechanics are either removed or simplified to make it a more streamlined experience. I see them doing something like that, if it were me. Thoughts, feelings?
I feel like if you're going to do essentially World of Warcraft on the phone, it should just be actual World of Warcraft. Like, if we can't bring our characters over and make progress, like, what's the point?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's my point earlier was, I think that's what you and I would want, right? That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a lot more likely that it's just a new game.
Yeah.
For mobile utilizing the Warcraft IP. But I also believe that whether it was proper WoW on a phone or just some other standalone title with the Warcraft IP, that the messaging would have been the same. If it was WoW on a phone, I don't think this is how they would choose to announce it. Right. So I think they would leave it ambiguous.
Right. I think that makes sense. It also makes me think that it's not very close to being anything close to announced officially or revealed. In fact, I'm a little surprised this tweet even exists, because it's basically sort of tacit acknowledgement that this exists. And
yeah. You know, but I mean, again, I think, look at the conversation we're having. We're not sure what it means. All we know is it's on mobile and it uses the Warcraft IP. And then there's so many directions this could take, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are mentioning the Clash of Clans games in chat room right now.
Which please, no.
Certainly would lend itself
I don't want that, though.
To Warcraft. I'm not a fan, but it's a really popular style of game.
Yeah. And it's, the roots and strategy wouldn't hurt WoW, but in RTS, roots or whatever, I could see that being a translation or whatever. I'm never going to get my turn-based StarCraft game, so maybe I'd take something in between. And also, Blizzard makes things I want to play even when it's a genre I don't like as much. So
I think you might, though. Like, I think if their entry mobile titles are successful, we might eventually see our StarCraft Tactics game or something of that nature.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like, and this goes back to when we were talking about Immortals. Like, I just don't really play a lot of mobile games, but this seems all right. Like mm-hmm. Immortal controlled really well. I haven't played the alpha, but I've heard good things from people who have. And good Lord, they're taking their sweet time developing it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
the effort's got to be going somewhere. I don't think it's just to mobile microtransactions.
Sure.
So
sure. I would assume not. The other thing I would say, I think this ship has sailed, or at least we need to start to acknowledge this idea that while a mobile Warcraft experience of some kind may include such things as fishing, and it may include a form of professions and or crafting, that sort of stuff, we're never going to get an app. If we haven't got one already, we're never going to get an app that is just, hey, here's your fishing buddy, freaking pet battle, auction house app. Like, we're not going to get that. They're either going to put a game out, and it will either be World of Warcraft Mobile Edition that's still the main game, or some sort of light version of Warcraft. Warcraft Junior. That's what I'm calling it. We're getting Warcraft Junior. All right. So
first Warcraft.
Yeah, my first. For a lot of people, it may be. Maybe that's the idea. I don't know. I'll play it. I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to give that thing a shot. I've done this before. Sometimes I go on these tears where I'm like, hey, there's like five new weird Korean MMOs out on mobile. I'm going to try them all. And I do, and they're kind of fun for a minute, and then I don't play them anymore, but I get curious about them. Actual Blizzard doing that? I mean, that's a guarantee I'll be messing with that. I just need to know what it is and Have it happen before we're all dead. Okay. Let's get to the main quest. All right, I thought it'd be helpful since last week we did a really fun thing. We put up audio of us just sort of talking over and with the opening ceremonies all the way up through about 3.5 hours of content. And,
oh, I didn't know you posted that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I put it up in audio form. Mm-hmm. I usually do this. This is something I've always done with E3 when that was more normal, usually with Patrick and John and others. And we always had fun with it, and people always liked it. But I always put out a little disclaimer before it saying, look, just so you know, and I did that with this. I said at the top of the show, before I put the file up, I'm like, we're about to like have this thing play, and we're going to talk over it, and we're going to joke around and have fun and be goofballs and enjoy ourselves. So just so you know, that's what this is. And if that doesn't sound like something you want, you know, maybe don't listen to it. I do that every time. But every time I put them up, nothing but mostly people being super happy about it, unless they missed the disclaimer and didn't like it. And I'm like, well, that's the reason the disclaimer exists. But
well, now that I know anyway. A lot more people heard it. Thank you, Diablo fans, for not blowing me up on Twitter.
Yeah, you didn't get too much.
You have been extremely kind.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. But anyway, yeah, Diablo 2, the Diablo 2 discussion, I got a little feedback on that about, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of really strong feelings about Diablo 2, which shouldn't be a shock to anybody. But anyway, as much as you guys enjoyed that, what we didn't get is kind of a postmortem sort of break it down thing. And I know you just put up a new WoW Killer episode that goes deep into things like Chains of Domination, TBC Classic, that sort of stuff. So make sure people out there give that a listen as well. If you want to hear Taliesin and you discuss some of those things at more length, we're going to go over some of that here. So I apologize if some of this is a little bit repetitive, but figured we'd do it and focus on the WoW stuff today. Shadowlands patch 9.1 is called Chains of Domination. And this Coritha, how you say it? Forgot how they said it. Coritha.
I've been saying Corthia, or Corthia. I believe it's Corthia.
Corthia.
I don't know if it's Corthia or Corthia. I don't know. I don't know where the emphasis is on the syllables.
I don't either. But this is a new section of the Maw. It'll have new art. It'll have new stuff. Mounts, pets, more, all this thing. The two big chains you saw. I assume we're going to move up those chains. Maybe those are our traveling chains.
I hope not, because I fall off those things constantly in friggin' Torghast. Yeah. If I gotta walk across those every single damn time, that or please make them way bigger chains.
It's a fair point. What I hope happens is we just teleporty up there but make it cool and animated the way they do in Bastion when you go from that platform down to.
Now you need to unlock the hookshot from Venari, and that's the only way you can get there.
You right click
on an anchor, and you
finally hookshots coming back, baby. Not since Legion have we had hookshots in this way. Anyway, we don't know about that for sure, but it's a part of the Maw that we currently don't have access to. Neither did the Jailer in the story, but now does because of things. I don't know how much of that stuff spoilers, but whatever. So that's the thing. We also, as part of this, have a new raid called Sanctum of Domination. It is new raid with the Eye of the Jailer. I don't know how to say this other. Terragru? Is that right?
Terragru. It's okay. The thing that kills you when you die too many times.
Yeah, I always forget the name of the thing. Terragru, there it is. He's like the ghost
you can call it Not a Tarrasque.
There you go. Not a Tarrasque. Not a Kyle Ferguson. Kel'Thuzad and then Sylvanas. And
those are our only confirmed bosses. Notice that they don't mention Anduin.
Yeah, they don't mention Anduin, who, I don't know, he just needs to be saved. Like, whatever he did to get the runes and be under control. Like, he thinks he's doing it for the right reasons, or he submitted for the right reasons, and he probably did. But I don't think we need to fight him. I don't know. Maybe we do. Maybe we need to fight him, and then he needs to get all Brad Pitt and reach into the sky and pull down some healing and do some badass thing in a fight.
I was like, what do you mean by Brad Pitt? And then I'm like, oh, wait, never mind.
He always looks like Brad Pitt in that to me. I can't
just help it. Just a young, gorgeous, like Brad Pitt a la Troy.
Yep. They gave very little detail about Sylvanas' role in this raid other than this is likely not. I mean, they wouldn't really say, but this is not her dying. This is not her demise.
No, that's a good question. Do you think Sylvanas dies?
No. Hell no. Okay. I think Sylvanas gets down to a few points of life and goes, ah, you fools, and then takes off, or there's a turning of the tide with her or something, but she doesn't die.
I think she sees the light. She's clearly doubting the Jailer at this point.
Oh, yeah. Her eyes tell you everything you need to know in these cutscenes. She's having all kinds of regret.
There's a lot of raised eyebrows.
Yeah. They also went into some detail during the week about the new 8-boss mythic mega dungeon called the Veiled Market, or Tazavesh, the Veiled Market. There we go. It's like an outdoor market, except they don't want you there. So you got to fight a bunch of stuff. It's not the same as your typical dungeon. This is more like you trying to invade a freaking farmer's market on a Saturday. And except in this case, none of the farmer's market people want you there. So get out.
The stormtroopers got called at Mos Eisley. That's what's about to happen.
That's a pretty good comparison. I'm shocked that you would have a good Star Wars comparison. Shocking, I say.
Dude, I am a sucker for sci-fi and fantasy markets. Whether it's Star Wars or Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, I love a creepy creature market. I am all for it.
I like them too. I think that's a good... I don't think your science fiction film about outer rim style planets is incomplete unless you have some sort of alien market with a bunch of weird shit in it. And the same thing, by the way, we're a bar. And the same thing goes for if you're going to make a deep space movie that's either horror or, oh no, we're out here and we can't get back or whatever your space movie is. And if there's a crew on your ship, you have to have a galley / cafeteria scene in your movie. If you don't do that, you're making a bad movie. So I would point to like Aliens, Sunshine, countless others, even The Matrix. You need to have a place where they all sit around leaning on their arms, maybe messing around with a knife like in Aliens, or maybe not, doesn't matter, but you got to have that galley place. And it's got to be badly lit and you're all eating just freeze-dried shit. It's just the way, okay?
My favorite version of that is Firefly, by the way.
There you go. That's perfect. That is a central piece to that ship. That ship is nothing without that freaking galley, I'm telling you. All right, now that we've had that discussion. Torghast, getting a new wing, floors, enemies, powers, art, all of that.
New ways for GURP to die.
New ways for GURP to die. Dumb ways for GURP to die is how I'd like to put it. Flying, unlock flying by competing Covenant activities and campaign chapters, earning your Covenant mount. So that's now been confirmed and was during the show that...
All right, Scott, can we just take a moment and lament the fact that there's finally something not all that great for the Night Fae Covenant? Because that mount is nightmare fuel.
It is. I mean, it is.
It looks like someone ran over a dachshund and resurrected it and made it fly.
It's a weird...
I realize it's a never-ending story callback, but it is. Oh, man. And that thing is just... Yeah,
I know. I get it. The new mounts, that's the one that has me the most concerned about, like, gene splicing and, horrible, horrible combination of, like, creature ideas. Yeah. But I'll fly it still. I'll still write
it. I hope it plays Never Ending Story every time I summon that damn thing.
It does look like a fox got into one of the fly transporters and... got stuck in there with a lizard, and then that's what.
If anyone remembers the scene in Ghostbusters 2 where the woman steps in the pink goo and she's wearing a mink fur coat and the minks come alive and start attacking her, that is what this mount reminds me of.
Oh, that's the worst movie though, Ghostbusters 2.
It is not great. No.
It's so bad. But I'm so I do glad like we agree. The I'm glad we agree on that. Scene. Oh, there are moments. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everything has moments, but. What a bummer Ghostbusters 2 is. All right, what else? So that's how you're going to get your flying. And for a lot of people, that's way better than dealing with some sort of Pathfinder nightmare thing. But it does mean you need to, be caught up, get going, be ready for this if you can. That's what I'm doing.
My concern is, like, do I have to get to the very end of Renown, or is it earlier in the Renown arc?
Oh, yeah, good point. We don't know. They never clarified that. Do you agree with Jocelyn at all that you just prefer them never adding flying into the game again and you just had to ride everywhere?
No, Jocelyn and I aren't friends anymore now that she mentioned that. Yeah, we're actually, our friendship has ended. We're staying together for the angry chicken.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why I can't agree with her on this. Like, I understand what she's saying and I agree with her during the leveling process. 100% with her. We saw how it worked with Cataclysm, and the worst part of Cataclysm, in my opinion, was that decision to let you fly no matter what, no matter where, already, immediately. I think that was a bad idea. It made the world feel blank and dumb. And this method they use now of getting through that content first still works like it did with Wrath or anyone else. I just think we get too rigmarole toward the end about I mean, can you jump through additional hoops to get that flying? I still wish I could just pay 1,000 gold and just get it, but I'll take this.
I want it now. I'm bored. I want to go play alts, but I don't want to wait for another elevator in Revendreth ever again.
Oh, that's a good point. Flying in Revendreth should just be free now, no matter who you are. Like that's the only one bummer of going back to GURP is I can't float everywhere like I could with the Demon Hunter, and that bums me out.
Yeah, because I don't know. To me, it has always been irksome for me, and I'm with you. I don't want it from the beginning. I think Cataclysm was one of the really bad things about that expansion.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm just like, even, and then when 9.1 comes out, I'm going to be wanting to spend more time in Korthia where they're not going to let us fly anyway.
Right.
So like, just give me my flying now. I've done everything there is to do. Let me speed this process up a little bit.
Yep. This is all true. They're also, let's see, we're getting you mentioned them out. Covenant cosmetic armor sets, Shadowlands Season 2, new Mythic Plus effects, Honor Talent refreshes, PvP rewards and more. Moving on to Burning Crusade Classic, they say the release will be this year. And like we mentioned earlier in the show, beta soon. And spell batching is removed. So no more. How did it work before? Spell batching. It's like when they would level them out, right? Is that what they mean?
Oh, dude, I do not remember.
Remember how that worked.
I don't remember this at all.
Back in the day. I don't remember. Someone in the chat will remember. Draenei and Blood Elves will be in the pre-patch. Mentioned that. Current classic servers becoming progression servers. Choose on a character by basing or character basis. Choosing on a character by character basis. There you go. I can speak English words. To progress with the server or move the character to a classic era server. And then we talked about the paid option and the boost 58. So we've gone through all that. Then a few more things that sort of came out of the Q&A panel, I think, that are of note. Faction imbalance has become a social issue and will require a social solution. And they say it is a top priority for them. So we're having a bit of a problem right now that has been there for a bit. Faction imbalance, at one point Ian said, he gave a lot of credit of that to a problem with racials for a while that just made things imbalanced. And right now there seems to be a real problem. So we got to figure that out. But they are not inclined to tell people to force anybody to do any kind of faction switching unless they want to, out of just whatever social reason they want to do it. And they'd like to keep it that way. So my take from that is they're going to have a really hard time getting that back to normal. For whatever the reasons are, people leave factions or stay with a faction or can't be bothered or don't want to pay or whatever. You cannot fix that overnight unless you intervene. So we'll see how that goes.
Was this the same question that led to all the headlines talking about how we may one day be able to mix Alliance and Horde players and PvE content?
Maybe. I think I made the comment or added the question at the end. It was my own follow-up, but I basically said, so do you think we're ever going to see cross-faction raiding? Because that would alleviate a lot of the problems you're talking about. So you could organize raids with whoever you wanted, wherever you wanted. And he said, basically, it was that standard answer of not at the moment, but we never say never. And everyone ran with that and said, oh, well, that means, so you're saying there's a chance. It was that whole thing.
I'd love this.
I would love it if they did that. I would love it if they did that, but I don't know. It doesn't sound like they want to do that, but I think that may be their solution right there. Let's see. Can't fly from zone to zone in Shadowlands. You're going to need to use flight paths to enter a zone. He had a great explanation for that. It made sense to me. I made a comment about how the map has a way of making you feel like you could or should be able to do that just by looking at it when you back out. But he says if you didn't have that teleportation between Ouroboros and the next point of interest, it would be a 45-minute physical flight for you to go to any of these other continents. And even though it's made up, right? We're just making this stuff up, but I can see why and I'm weirdly better with it than I was. I complained a lot about travel at the start of this expansion. I'm a little better now. It's okay. I don't mind going up. Got to get over to Maldraxxus.
It gets alleviated as you go along.
Yeah.
Now that I have the level 3 mushroom network on my Night Fae and I have a port to Ouroboros, like things have really sped up.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got some interesting ways of dealing with that stuff. It's like killing the dude in the maw that has the mount and then you get to use his mount for a while. It's not the perfect solution, but it's I like these weird little ways they make things seem better that way. So
you know what does seem strange to me, though, is I had assumed that we wouldn't be able to do that so that it was easier for them to add more zones.
Yeah.
Like they just tack on another portal and that ports us out to whatever the new zone is. But the first new zone we're getting is attached to the damn Maw. It's not even in Ouroboros. Or it doesn't even connect to Ouroboros.
Yeah. Now,
so that's what I find a little strange. Like, well, if it's a 45-minute drive, why don't you just scoot those zones closer? It doesn't need to be 45 minutes.
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
There was talk maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm not supposed to have known this, and then they didn't announce it, which means they may not do it. Shoot, I don't want to control.
Oh, hey, man. Yeah, hey.
I'll tell you off air. No.
It was just a thought that popped into my head.
No, that's all good. But I heard something off air, or I'll hear something I want to tell you about, and I'll tell you off air because I don't think they brought it up, but I was told ahead of time that they were going to, which makes me think they changed their mind. And so it's a Maw thing. I'll tell you about it off air. And you can tell me if, oh, yeah, they did announce that, or I just didn't hear it or something, because I haven't been able to find it anywhere. And it certainly wasn't in our Q&A.
I'm getting the behind-the-scenes scoop, everybody.
Yep. He's getting stuff no one else has heard. And it was
Scott's
just
going to tell me that Hazzikostas requires a Krispy Kreme donut before any interview.
Now it's out. Everyone
by the way, so do I. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is how
we
get you on every episode of the show, every week.
You're like, hey, Garrett, hey, here's the Krispy Kreme.
Here's a hand-delivered donut. Come on the show. let's see what else. Your name will be saved for both servers options in Burning Crusade Classic. If there are server connections, they will likely play out like in Modern WoW, having names with server appendages stuff. So that was an important thing that came out where it's like, the tech behind it is basically like your hashtag Battle.net name style thing. Holly explained that and used a fake character. We were worried at first because we thought it was a real one and then she was going to get spammed to death, but it was as a fake character. Anyway, moving on to what else? We talked about Paladin Seals being available to both factions. Oh, there are no plans right now to add more race/class combinations in Shadowlands, but never say never, they said. I don't know why they didn't say never with the cosmetics, but yes, race/class combos, none of that will change in Shadowlands without them letting us know, I guess. There's no plans at the moment.
Yeah.
A couple other bits. I mean, I'm still flabbergasted just from an overall show perspective that Overwatch got no opening ceremonies play. I just think that's crazy. And
it was weird. And then we tuned into the Overwatch panel and they were showing the PvE mode. And I'm like, wait, what is this? None of us have seen this before.
And it looked good. Like it looked like it had some meat to it. And they were showing the weather effects thing and the day night stuff. And I'm at the time went, well, wait, this is all you could have shown this. I don't know if they just weren't ready to do like a packaged showing of it or what the problem was, but it's like, you've got your big fat IPs and that's one of them. That's really one of them. It's huge. You can't just like not talk about it. And I was shocked they didn't talk about it, but they talked a ton later. Like there was all sorts of good stuff on that channel about that game. So that's still weird. And I'm still annoyed. I'm sure you are that we don't know anything about that Hearthstone mode because they just didn't explain it. So how are we going to find out, Garrett? We just wait until this. Do you think it's just a fake name? They went, hey, we got mercenaries. Oh, what's that about? Nah, I don't know. We'll see you in 8 months when maybe we'll know.
It's just weird, man. It's like my response. They didn't show a single card. Like we got into our interview. We're like, wait, are there cards? We're not sure. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't. I don't know. It was on the roadmap that they put out last year. It was at like the end of the year of the Phoenix, which was the standard year, which is about to end.
Yeah.
Roadmap. And so I think they felt they had to announce it, but it to me, this is based on nothing anyone has told me, but just by how absolutely freaking vague this announcement was, I think they are behind on schedule on this. And it could have been all sorts of things. People were not happy with their battle pass system that they released.
Right.
Duels, the last new mode, kind of launched to middling interest. So to me, I think they probably looked at some of the pushback they've seen from like their last two major updates and are kind of going back to the well and want this to be a hit and wants to be on the level of Battlegrounds. Obviously they want everything to be a hit, but to me, I'm just getting this sense that it's like whatever they had planned, it got yanked. And I think we're going to see this later than we expected.
Yeah.
Because no one seems to know what it is. No one can tell me what this mode is at Blizzard.
Yeah. They seem to be real,
which is,
it's weird though, because they made a big deal out about it, out of it in the opening thing, but no, no Overwatch 2 stuff. It was just so weird to me.
Yeah. But, yeah. And it's like, it's not the kind of thing that like makes me angry as a fan or anything. I just find it like, I want to know the full story and I'm sure I will never get it. Like, I want to know why was this such a strange mm-hmm. unveiling?
Yeah. It's not enough just to say the word mercenaries and get us excited though. I need more.
Yeah, they just like shot out a bunch of like buzzwords. They're like, it's a roguelike with PvE, permanent progression, and you could fight your friends. And like, that's it. I'm like, okay. And so yeah. Other people are taking it running and they're like, yeah, slay the spire. And I'm like, no one said that.
Yeah, we're just we making don't know it for up. Sure. We're making this up because they won't tell us. Usually we'll yeah. have more information. The other thing I wanted to say about Overwatch 2 is that a lot of people try to sort of quantify what that multiplayer PvE content looks like, co-op stuff. And what it looks like to me is Left 4 Dead with progression, which is totally talking my language. I'm into this. So with skill unlocks and like actual permanent progression in that mode, that sounds great. I'm super into that idea. I know you like Left 4 Dead. You should be into this. Should
yeah.
be a thing.
Yeah. No, I am looking forward to it. I do tend to like these types of games to be way more violent, but
yeah, true.
It does look cool.
Yeah. Seem neat. And some of that stuff.
I need something, because if it's just more multiplayer, I've kind of had my fill of Overwatch multiplayer.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have. All right. That's going to do it for that. We do have an email today.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
Well, we've got answers. This is the emails we read on the show, and they come to us at theinstance@gmail.com. Please use it. We'd love to hear from you. theinstance@gmail.com. Steven wrote in and said, I dropped out of retail somewhere mid-BFA and have been playing Classic and other games ever since. After listening to a recent Instance episode, I decided to give Shadowlands a go. There are so many barriers to re-entry. New add-on manager, class changes, etc. But I bravely forged ahead. Well, for the record, the add-on manager isn't Blizzard's. That's somebody else's. That's just someone else. Anyway, this came to a screeching halt when I logged in and found the old god equivalent of a bachelorette party gag gift protruding from my paladin's forehead. Eye of Nazoth. More like Nazoth's purple-headed yogurt stingers. Sorry. Yogurt slinger spurting fully formed from the proud light bringing brow. Fellas, I have like 20 quests in my quest log and no memory of which one is tied to this travesty. So I ask you, the instance, euphemisms aside, how do I get this old god dong off my forehead? Warmest regards, Arient. No idea which server I'm on at this point. His real name is Steven. P.S. Love the show. Thanks for all you do and all the work to make it happen. Okay, Steven. I like your style, first of all, number one. Number two, just clear out all your old quests and pretend like you're starting fresh. That's how I do it. Don't worry about stuff on your head. That's just it's a piece of gear. Go in there and change it, transmog it to something else. Because if you were here in BFA, you know what transmog is. Just go transmog it. Go talk to...
Well, the gift of Nazoth, I believe, is tied to the quest line that it's on. So,
oh, is it?
Try just...
just kill the quest then. That's it.
Yeah, get rid of... Either go finish or get rid of it.
Yeah, get rid of it. You don't need it. Yeah, I forgot about that. You can if you kill the quest. Chat room saying you can't get rid of it. Yes, you can. Go kill the quest. Just delete the quest.
Chat room saying you have to clear the raid.
No.
Is that true?
No. I don't think that's true because I don't think remember. I did. You can. Just kill the quest. I'm telling you. If you go kill, they're not going to make you for the rest of your WoW playing history and the history of the future. You're not going to have to walk around with that freaking thing on your head. I promise. I swear.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, you can kill it. I promise you can kill it. I wish I would have done slightly more research on how, because everyone in here is being so adamant that you can't.
This I know this one is a weird one, but I don't know offhand the exact way you get rid of it. But I was pretty sure it was like tied to a quest.
How to get your old?
You know who would know? You know who we need right now is Taliesin, because he kept that thing around on purpose for the entire damn expansion. But I don't remember. I had it. It was gone. I don't remember why it disappeared.
Well, that line, how to get this old god dong off my forehead, is really one of the greatest things we've ever been sent. So regardless of what happens, I love that you sent that and that you used those words. Stephen, well done.
Please write into the instance@gmail.com and tell us with like cited references how we do this.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you do it? Because I know you get if you do it all the normal way, you get cleansed of it. But if you don't finish all that or you quit before any of this, I can't imagine you can't just kill all associated quest content with it. Just delete them. I think it'll be fine.
Okay. Forums are saying, and in this corroborates with something I saw in chat room, that you need to do a quest with Brother Pike in Borealis.
Wait, to get rid of it?
What's the Horde equivalent?
Yeah, what do you do if you're Horde? Yeah. That doesn't make sense. I don't know if I believe this. I feel like we'd hear more problems. Because I know there's a huge portion of the game, you know, the base.
I love that I don't know what this what the answer to this is.
It's very weird. Anyway, go good luck, Steven. And if we find out between now and next week, you can guarantee we'll have a follow-up. So watch for that. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for tuning in and checking it out, especially you guys who are here live. We really appreciate it. If you're listening at home, we love you too. And a reminder that you can help support the show by going on over and becoming an Instance Plus member at theinstance.net. Yeah, that's right. You get rad art in the mail and other cool benefits that only are afforded to those who support the show. So check it out at theinstance.net. Garrett, in the meantime, other stuff going on with you? As I mentioned, great episode of WoW Killer. Anything else you want to mention this week?
Everything's at amove.tv. Got new Hearthstone chatter up over on the Angry Chicken. Did a nice Into the Nexus yesterday. We're getting a new Heroes of the Storm patch next week. So check it all out. AMOVE.tv.
Nice. A move. It's the best way to attack in an RTS if some of you are confused. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. More shows like this at at frogpants.com, where you can find this show and all the other shows we do on the network. You can find all the artwork and other stuff that's happening. If you have any questions or thoughts, email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @instanceshow, @GarrettArt, @ScottJohnson. And like I said, more cool stuff like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, for all of you. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.